My name is Don McClune. I'm the counseling pastor here and also the president of the Debbie McClune Fan Club. Today, 17,909 days. She's very fortunate. I have to start, though, with a confession. I've committed a fashion faux pas. I heard in the radio on the way over today that you're not allowed to wear white until Memorial Day. And that's tomorrow, but I have white on today, so I hope you're forgiving people, so forgive my fashion faux pas, okay? I feel better now since I confessed that to you. It's okay to laugh in church. We're allowed. He's overseas. We can do what we want. I told you before, you know, we can. And people do what they want here in this church sometimes. Okay. I want to start off this morning with a passage from the book of Matthew. Matthew is found, it's after Genesis, but it's before Revelation, if you're looking in your Bible. So hear God's word. He told his disciples, I've been given all authority in heaven and earth, therefore go and make disciples in all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And then teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, that I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. This ends the reading of God's holy word. By the way, just doing the sermon preparation this week, I noticed that in the very beginning of Matthew, in the first chapter, it talks about Jesus. Another name for Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. And it ends with the last verse in this book. It ends with, I am with you always. Isn't that great to know that God with us, I am with you always? It's a great way to start and close this book of Matthew. So I want to give you this morning two scenarios to start with, okay? The first one is there's a baseball team, okay? And what this baseball team does is they practice hours and hours and hours and hours and hours. They teach the players how to hit, how to throw, how to bunt, how to catch, how to steal. They also have classes for this team where they teach them more things. They teach them how to give the signals from the third base coach, how to receive them, what they are. They even show them videos on how to bat, the proper stance, all those things. They do it over and over and over and over again. But imagine if this baseball team never played a game. All they did was practice, practice, practice over and over and over again. When you say there's a time eventually to come off the practice field and to get into the game, I think you would agree with that. Another example I want to give you, where I live in State College, very near to me, probably about 5 miles away, there's a very exclusive fishing club. It's a true story. Presidents, governors, senators have gone to this fishing club. And in this fishing club, they do have meetings also. And they talk about different flies. What's the correct rod to use? What's the best time to fish? They show videos. They do all these things. But imagine for a second, they never fish. Would that make sense? The same example now I want to use here. What if, for us, we have classes here at this church, we have sermons, we have videos, we have studies, but we never go and make disciples, what it says in this chapter of Matthew. Again, so we talk about us giving lectures and sermons. We have Sunday school classes and videos. However, do we ever go and share the good news? The passage I read, this passage, is a command from God. When we think of commands, we certainly go to the Ten Commandments, very important. But do we realize there's many other commands in the Bible, and there is a command from the Bible. Notice it does not say, I suggest to you, therefore. It's not a suggestion, it's a command from God. This passage, the Great Commission, called the Great Commission because it comes from Jesus. This passage, the Great Commission, is for us. It's what we're here for. It's what Jesus made you to do. It's what Jesus made you to be. You see, after we accept Christ as our Lord and Savior, we don't become mission-minded. We are mission-minded. Two different things. When you decided to follow Jesus, when you accepted Him, you have an additional vocation. So if you're an architect, you're an architect and a disciple maker. If you are a teacher, you have an additional vocation. You're a teacher and a disciple maker. If you're a construction worker, you have an additional vocation. You're a construction worker and a disciple maker. If you're a plumber, you have an additional vocation. You are a plumber and a disciple maker. And if you're a banker, you have an additional vocation. You are a banker and a disciple maker. And if you are a student, you have an additional vocation. You're a student and a disciple maker. Jesus commanded this. I often hear people say this, I wish God would move. I wish God would do something. We have it all wrong. God is moving. It's us that's not moving. We're not moving. God already sent Jesus, died on the cross for us. God forgave us. God gave us His holy word, the scriptures. God promises to meet your needs. And we've been given access to Him 24 hours a day. So God is moving. But what are we doing? He's done so much for us. However, very important that you hear this, Satan does not want you to share. Satan does not want you to share. He does not want you to tell anyone about Jesus. He does not want this church or any other church to grow. He does not want you to follow, to fulfill the Great Commission. Often when I preach, I say this phrase, I am a mind reader, and I'm reading minds right now. And there are a number of you in this room right now that are saying this, I cannot do that. I can't share. I can't talk about Jesus. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to do it. I don't have the right degrees. I never went to Bible college or Christian college. I didn't go to seminary. Notice what it doesn't say. It doesn't say, therefore, if you're a pastor, therefore, if you're a missionary, it doesn't say that. It's for us. All of us go, is what it says. Are you willing to go? You can do this with God and through God. Remember the passage right here. I am with you always. It doesn't say I'm with you most of the time, 9 to 5. It doesn't say that. It says I'm with you always. You can do this. You can fulfill the Great Commission wherever you're at in life. You can do it. Let me give you two verses to help you. The first one is out of 1 John. But Christ has blessed you with the Holy Spirit. Now the Spirit stays in you, and you don't need any teachers. The Spirit is truthful and teaches you everything. So stay one in your heart with Christ, just as the Spirit has taught you to do. By the way, before you get all excited here, when it says you don't need any teachers, here's an example why we have to be very careful. We take one verse out of context and say, oh, we don't need teachers. John is speaking here about the false teachers that are out there. And in the verse before this, in verse 26, he mentions the false teachers. That's what he's referring to. We do need teachers. The verse here is saying, though, you're blessed with the Holy Spirit. He's with you. When you say, I can't do something, the Holy Spirit is with you. Another verse out of 2 Timothy, very famous verse. The whole Bible was given to us by the inspiration from God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It straightens us out and helps us do what is right. It is God's way of making us well prepared at every point, fully equipped to do good to everyone. Well prepared, fully equipped. No more excuses is what God is saying here. You have no excuse. We have no excuse. The reason you're here today is that someone, somewhere along the line, told you about Jesus. And that's why you sit here today. Somebody told you about Jesus. You know what the measurement of success is for churches? Let me tell you what it's not. The measurement for success for churches is not programs. The measurement for success in a church is not budget. The measurement of success for a church is not buildings. The measurement of success for a church is not the number of people. The measurement of success for a church is not how great their staff is. The measurement of success is sharing Jesus, connecting with people. At First Church, we do have great programs. We do have great classes. We do have a great counselor. Debbie put that in my notes. I'm sorry. I'll talk to her about that. But seriously, great facilities. They're all great in their self. But in itself, they do not reach people. People reach people. That's how it is. How do we reach people? Well, we don't get the big black King James Version of the Bible and hit them over the head. We don't coerce them. We don't force them. Rather, we need to be about people, loving people. We want people to have a full life filled with their purpose, knowing God. The Great Commission, the passage I read you to start with, we need to be relentless about this. It needs to be our consuming passion. This is the gospel awakening right here. This is the gospel awakening. Are we awake? Let me show you how we should not do it.
Hey, what are you doing? Oh, burying your cat. Mr. Bootsy. I loved Mr. Bootsy. I guess you love Mr. Bootsy too, huh? Because he's your cat, or was your cat. Hey, I got an idea. Why don't you come to church with me? Because all cats go to heaven, and if you go to church with me, you can find out what happened to Mr. Bootsy.
I don't think that's the way it works.
Yeah, I think it is. No, that's accurate.
I don't think it is.
That's what happens.
I don't think it does.
All cats go to heaven.
It's not the way it works.
Are you calling me a liar? So do you want to go to church with me?
That's how we don't to it, okay? You know, I just heard a story about a TV reporter was interviewing a paramedic. And the TV reporter said, hey, tell us about, like, an unusual case that you were involved with. And the paramedic said, I know what comes to mind right away. A number of weeks ago on a Sunday, an usher from a church called and said, we have a man here in the church with no pulse. And, of course, they rushed right over to the church. And the news, TV reporter said, well, what's so unusual about that? And the paramedic said, well, we carried out four people until we found the dead one. Let's not get caught dead in our seats. Let's not get caught dead in our seats. Still, there are some here today that they doubt that they have the ability to serve God. You know what? That probably is the biggest obstacle in your life, is your doubt that you can't do it. You need to fight that doubt. You need to seek His Word. You need to seek Him. You need to seek Him in prayer. We cannot have the Great Commission become the Great Omission. We cannot have the Great Commission become the Great Omission. Omission means neglected, undone, left out. Today, we need to begin to live our life through the perspective of the empty tomb. Today, we need to begin to live our life through the resurrection perspective. The world needs to know the resurrection perspective. The world needs to know the empty tomb perspective. Today, First Church, more importantly, today, God is not looking for all-stars. You know what God's looking for? For all to start. Entirely different. God is looking not for all-stars. God is looking for all to start. If Jesus was known as a friend to sinners and tax collectors, which He was, we must ask ourselves something. How often do I befriend the outcast? Or are we part of the group that casts them out? Jesus was known as a friend to the sinners, to the outcast. Ask yourself, how often do you take on the outcast? Or are you part of the group that casts them out? We are to be the light of the world. Very clear in Scripture. We are to be the light of the world. How many dark places, how many hearts have you brought into the light? How many dark places, how many hearts have we brought into the light? You need to be aware, to be on the lookout for ways to share. Very important. Let me give you two ways. First example, Jesus. The great example, I've used it before, but remember, I'm old, so I get to repeat myself. The woman at the well. You know what Jesus did? Found the common denominator. What was it? Thirst. He said to the woman, may I have a drink, please? That's how it started. As simple as that. May I have a drink, please? And from there, he went on. He didn't point his finger. Didn't say all the things that she did wrong. May I have a drink, please? Another example. It's a great example that I just found out about 2 weeks ago. A friend of mine and his wife were on their way to church. They needed gas. He was going to pull into this gas station. And for some reason, he felt God was saying, don't pull into that station. So he did not, and he went to the next station. Pulled in, and his wife said, I'm going to get some orange juice. So he pumped the gas. She went in. When she went into the store, there was a man standing there, and she simply said, hello. said hello, and then she said, how are you? Now, first of all of us in this room can say hello and how are you, right? Yes, you can. Thank you. So she says hello, he says hello, how are you? And he says, terrible. And she said, oh, I'm sorry. What's going on? He says, my life is in ruins. Nothing's going right. And you know what she said? Hey, my husband and I are going to church. You want to go to church with us? You know what he said? Okay. So she goes out to the car, a true story, and says to her husband, this guy here, he's going to follow us. He's going to church. And he goes, what? She said, just. So he came to church with him. You know what? He accepted Christ that day at church. Wow. If she wouldn't have said, hello, how are you? Just that is all was said. So this morning, I have a test for you. Now here's the test. You don't have to come forward. You don't need pencil and paper. I'm going to give you a test. You ready? Here's the test. It's a test to see if your mission on earth is finished. Ready? If you're alive, it's not finished. There's the test. If you're alive, it's not finished. God wants to use you. Find the common denominator. I told you before, ask God to put somebody in your path that doesn't know him. He will answer that prayer. He will answer that prayer. You know what? It could be as simple as you work beside somebody and you start talking about baseball or golf or what's your favorite restaurant. Something as simple as that. That's how you start. It doesn't have to be, have you memorized the entire book of Numbers in the King James Version of the Bible? Don't do that. It's not going to work. Be aware. Be on the lookout for ways to share. Do all you can. Do all you can by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, in all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as you can. Do all you can by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, in all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as you can. I came across a quote from A.W. Tozier. This is what he wrote. The widest thing in the universe is not space. It is the potential capacity of the human heart. Being made in the image of God, it is capable of almost unlimited extension in all directions. And one of the world's greatest tragedies is that we allow our hearts to shrink until there's room in them for little besides ourselves. One more time. The widest thing in the universe is not space. It is the potential capacity of the human heart. Being made in the image of God, it is capable of almost unlimited extension in all directions. And one of the world's greatest tragedies is that we allow our hearts to shrink until there is room in them for little besides ourselves. As you leave this room today, you must decide, will you follow the command, God's command, of the Great Commission? Or, for you, will it be the Great Omission? You need to decide today. Maybe you're here and, you know, you accepted Christ a long time ago. You've fallen away, whatever. It does not matter. As we've said many times, God, the God we serve is a God of many, many chances. He loves you. And so if you made that 10,000th mistake, it's okay. He loves you. He wants you to fulfill the Great Commission. He wants you to come back. If you've never accepted Christ, it's okay too. Today's that great day to do it, though. We never know. If you've never accepted Christ, I would love to talk with you. It's that important. Talk to somebody else that's a Christian that you know, that knows about God. Talk to somebody, though. It's that important. We need to live out the Great Commission. It's very clear. It's not, well, I think God wants to do that. It's clear. It's the Great Commission. Are you willing to follow the command from God? Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We're thankful that you care about us and you love us. You sent Jesus for us. Father, we confess that we've made many mistakes, but we're so thankful that you love us and care for us, and that you want us to do this great commission, that with you and through you, we can do this. And we pray all these things in the matchless name of Jesus Christ. Amen.